I want to welcome everyone to PrayerSurge Now, a national conference call. We've been gathering intercessors together every Saturday morning since August of 2007. And you all are welcome to join us. You can go to prayersurgenow.net for information on weekly prayer calls. And we begin 7:30 a.m. Eastern, and we always begin with prayers for Israel, for the Middle East, the United States military, and then we focus on other prayer needs. And this hour, as we do every month, we're going to focus on Jews and Gentiles coming together as the one new man. And this hour speaker will be Grant Berry. And Grant, before I properly introduce you and Hallie, both of you are on this call together, would you lead us in prayer for salvation of Jewish people in Russia and Ukraine during these crises between these two nations? And we want to see Jews everywhere saved. But would you just focus your prayer on God releasing salvation for the Jewish people? There are many in both of these nations, Russia and Ukraine. Go ahead.
Good morning, Daisa. Good morning, beloved watchmen. Shabbat shalom to everyone. Father, we come before you. We know that we are getting very close to that day. Lord, Paul writes to us almost 2,000 years ago, do not be ignorant to this mystery, that as we come into the full number of the Gentiles, comma, so it says all Israel will be saved. Father, you have a plan and a purpose. You have covenanted with your firstborn. You have made promises to restore them. When we know those that rejected you came under judgment and dispersion, but always your word spoke of restoration. And it's to that focus that we pray this morning, to just to remind you of your scriptures. And we know how you love to be reminded of your word, Father, that as we come, Lord, that the fullness of Israel will bring great blessings to the entire world, to the church, and actually make Israel and the church complete. So Father, we call out to the Jews and cry out for the Jews from the nations in America, in Russia, in Europe, England, France, Italy, Germany, Austria, Spain, so many other countries. There's so many places in the world where there is even the tiniest Jewish population. So we lift the nations before you and we say, Father, we cry out for this unveiling, this veil, blindness and deafness that Isaiah proclaimed upon the Jewish people, that you would bring this to an end and that you would lift it, Father. And we just pray, Father, for your plans and purposes to be achieved, that you would raise up your church to fulfill its role, to call out and cry out for the breath to be released into the Jewish people, to pray for their salvation, and also to release the mercy that we have received as a result of their disobedience, that we too would now release that mercy back to them. Lord, the church has a great role in this hour that is not yet fully understood, and we pray for an unveiling in that place, because you desire to use your children from the nations to help awaken Israel. And we just lay the Jewish people before you this morning, and we say, Father, remember your covenants. Father, remember your promises. And we ask that you would just bring this forth according to your perfect plan and your perfect will. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus' matchless name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, Grant. Good morning, Hallie. Good morning, Bob. Let's make sure we have a good connection with each of you.
Amen.
Good morning.
I'm here.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, and what an honor for us to be together as Jews and Gentiles together as the one new man. And I want to just so appreciate Grant Berry, who's rabbi to us this morning, and he's our dear Messianic Jewish brother, servant, leader, founder and director of Reconnecting Ministries. Learn all about it at reconnectingministries.org. He also serves as producer and author of the 9/11, the Romans 9/11 book, as well as the Romans 9/11 project. And Grant, I'm looking at the graphic that red square that says the Romans 9/11 project, and I see a key in the letter O of the word project. In the bottom, it says a comprehensive study in TONM, which stands for the One New Man. Let's just continue to learn about how God is using this project, the Romans 9/11 project. Let's hear your heart for the One New Man and anything else that the Lord would have you share with us this morning. And along the way, we'll pause and pray. And we're going to always start with Bob and Hallie leading us in prayer. And I'm going to ask also others on this call to lead us in prayer. So once again, Shabbat Shalom to you. Grant, please share with us what's on your heart.
You know, Daisa, I think Bob and I and Hallie all agree on this, that this is one of our favorite prayer hours in the month. It's always either Friday night or early Saturday morning when we awaken that the Lord puts his heart on our heart as to things that he wants us to pray. And there's always such a beautiful flow between us and the gifts that God has given us. And this is such a picture of how we're supposed to operate and function in the body, especially as we come into this end time period, to really for the walls of the church to come down, that we would truly operate as one, as a body, and be able to just move in the beautiful gifts that he's given each of us, because we all play a vital role and a vital piece. And this last night and this morning was no exception. I was thinking of moving in another direction, because I also want to introduce to you one of our prayer leaders this morning who's going to join us on the call. Her name is Susan Torregrossa. Some of you already know her. And the topic that the Lord put on my heart is actually one of the fruits of this reconnection, which relates to Jewish believers wherever they are, whether they're in the Messianic body or in the church, rediscovering the fullness of their identity. And maybe what I could do, Daisup, is just give a very brief description of how that happened in my life. Maybe we could pray, and maybe then introduce Hallie and Susan to share and pray. I'll just leave that to you. Just give us the direction. But you know, when I came to the Lord, I really left my Jewish roots and heritage. I left the religion behind me. I left the legalism behind me, and I was somewhat turned off as a young Jewish person in the synagogue to a lot of the liturgy, because I didn't see people's hearts in it. I hate to say it, but I saw hypocrisy, and men interested in sports and money, and women interested in the clothes that they were wearing, and almost competing with one another. And so it didn't take me long before I began to look in other directions to try and find God. As a young believer, I had always wanted to know the Lord, and as a modern Jew, went searching in many different directions. Well, to cut a long story short, when I met the Lord, I had such a dramatic a conversion experience. You could read about it in my first book, The New Covenant Prophecy. And the Lord exorcised two demons out of me. I didn't even know what a demon was, but I felt darknesses leave from my body, and a peace like a river washed into my soul on my bedroom floor as I was crying out and weeping for hours about my sins. I had discovered that sin was my issue, but that Yeshua had paid the price. And I understood the freedom that this door opened for me. And but I felt more Jewish in the spirit at that point than I had ever felt. And I didn't need to hold on to certain aspects of Judaism to prove to people that I was Jewish. And actually, I went through a period where I was very angry, not towards the Jewish people, but I was angry towards the Jewish leaders. How could you withhold Messiah from me? And God used that anger and that frustration to bring me to my knees, to bring me to a place of forgiveness and repentance, and to bring me into a place of intercession, which he started to school me on very early on in my walk. But Susan, who we'd like to introduce you today, had her own experience, and of course Hallie had her own too. And this is a significant part of the restoration that comes through this message. As we reconnect in the one new man, there is a great need for Jewish believers to fulfill their identity. Now, there are many Jews in the church, Daisa, that have crossed over to the Gentile side, to the Christian side, some of whom had a painful journey, and they just don't want to go back. And yet there is really a sincere calling from the Father for Jewish believers not to be religious, not to go back to the law. That's not what we're talking about, but to shine forth their identity, because we know, every one of us knows on this call, the true extension of Judaism is Yeshua, is the following of Yeshua. And our Jewish brothers and sisters that have not yet received the Lord, Paul describes them as broken off branches that need to be restored. And there is a great need in this day for those Jews to be saved, because without Yeshua, there is no separate covenant. The gospel was given to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. Yeshua came only to the lost house of the sheep of Israel. And so there's this place. But I don't want to say any more, because I know we like to move into prayer, and I want to give time for Susan and to Daisup, so and for Hallie. So Daisup, please lead us in that.
Yeah, let's hear more from you, but also from Susan after a time of prayer. So Bob and Hallie, in that order, would you lead us in prayer for the Jewish leaders who have yet to embrace Yeshua, especially those in the Orthodox segment of the Jewish faith? We need to see, just like the Lord is releasing dreams and visions to Muslims, including Muslim leaders, we need to see the Orthodox leaders and the Jewish leaders have their own experience of the Damascus Road. We need to see those that are acting like Saul become the Pauls of 2022. It's urgent. We need to prayer surge now for salvation now for the Jewish leaders. So would you lead us, Bob and Hallie?
Yeah, as Daisup is talking, I'm thinking about when Moses saw the burning bush, and it says that he turned aside, that he was headed in one direction, but he turned aside. Now, when Paul has this experience on the Damascus Road, he doesn't even see it coming. It's just strikes him out of the blue, so to speak. But I'm praying, Father God, for a hunger to know you. The people that have been following the Orthodox Avenue have been saying that they have a hunger for God, and that's what drives them. That's what keeps them on track, is their desire to know you. Now, Father God, I pray that desire to know you would bring a light into their life, would bring that salvation that would bring that hunger is not what he's talking about as he was crying on the floor of his room, Lord, that desire to know you, that hunger, Father God, would now be implanted into the people, into the Orthodox community, that they would realize that nothing short of Yeshua will satisfy that desire that you put into their heart, and that you would bring them to faith, Father, by their hunger and their desire to know you and to return to you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And Father God,
Hallie, would you get off the speakerphone, please, and make sure you're not close to Grant, because or else there'll be an echo, okay?
Is this any better?
Is this better?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, we call forth an awakening to your people, Lord, that especially when I think of the Orthodox at the wall crying out for their Messiah. Lord, I'm asking that you would open up, as they're crying out, that you would open up your word, your scriptures to them. Create a hungry, create a curiosity in their hearts. Like, what are we really looking for? What does that mean? Who is the Messiah? Open up your word to them. Awaken them to know that you have come and you're coming back in Yeshua's name.
And you know, it's not just the Orthodox leaders. We need to pray for salvation of the Chuck Schumers and the Elena Kagans and the George Soros and the Steven Spielbergs, these influential people who might even be secular Jews, but they are making wrong decisions, and they need to come to know Yeshua. So, Susan, would you make sure, would you lead us in prayer for these Jews that are influential all around the world? And Susan, who was invited by Grant, if you're on the call, would you make sure you're unmuted and lead us in a one-minute prayer? So, Father, I want to just thank you that your promises to the children of Abraham are true to this day, Lord, whether or not they're using their anointing for you. There is an anointing, Lord, but unless that anointing is submitted under the lordship of Yeshua, that Jewish leaders who are not submitting to Jesus, Lord, will be used by the enemy of our souls. So, Lord, I ask that you would set these captives free, Lord, the Jewish leaders that are in the government, in the business, in entertainment and media, in education, Lord, they would be set free because we love these people. We want them to be saved and that they would also be your instrument, just like the Apostle Paul, Lord, in Jesus' name. Anyone else? Let's have two or three others unmute. Press star 6 on your phone or the, and then just lead us in a one-minute prayer for salvation of Jewish people.
This is Sue Landry. I have a prayer. It's again out of Acts 26:18. God, that their eyes would be open and they would be turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. God, we lift up leaders and wealthy men and women in the Jewish communities around the globe. God, we lift up George Soros. We lift up his children. God, we ask that they would fulfill this verse, that their eyes would be open, that they would be turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified. God, we lift up Anthony Blinken and others. God, we just ask for wisdom to be poured into these Jewish men and women that are people at the gates that make decisions and are influencers. God, we ask that you, in the arts and entertainment and the political mountain and the education mountain and all of the business mountain, God, we lift up these men and women and ask for them to find you. To find you, we ask for a holy heaven invasion into their homes, into their even bedrooms, into their studies, into their houses, to send angels who escort people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light in Jesus' name.
Amen. Any others that's connected right now, if you would unmute and lead us in a 1 minute prayer for salvation of Jewish people. Thank you, Lord.
This is Nancy Hankins. I so agree with that prayer, Lord. And Father, where these, your people, have become just princes of the world, where they've become princes of the world, Father, we pray that they have this encounter with you, a supernatural encounter, Father, that they leave the dead works, those dead works that bring nothing, Father, and they have this beautiful encounter with you, Yeshua, because you love them so much, Father. They're your people. Father, we're praying for a supernatural opening of their eyes through dreams and visions, Lord, however you want to do it, God, but for the salvation of their souls, God. We cry out to you, Father, and we love them, and we thank you that through these people, Father, Yeshua is the King of kings and Lord of lords. May their eyes be open to see you, Messiah, the King of kings and the lover of their souls. And I pray this in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. And Father, even as we desperately pray for the peace of Jerusalem and salvation of Israel, the Jewish people, Lord, I pray that we would be desperate to be that witness in the proclamation and demonstration of the gospel, Lord, so that Jewish people who are our relatives, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, Lord, those who we went to school with, that you remind us to connect with them and to share that we care for them, we love them, and give us your strategy and how we can share the gospel, Lord, that would lead to salvation. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, back to you, Grant, and it's wonderful to have you with us this morning, and please visit Reconnecting Ministries, and the website is reconnectingministries.org, and when you go there, you'll learn a lot about the Romans 9/11 project. And Grant, it seems like the Lord is bringing more and more partners and those who want to collaborate with you, and God is opening doors for you to bring the message of the Romans 9/11 project to many locations. Let's just continue to have conversations with you, and we'll continue to pause to pray. Grant,
can you hear me?
Yes, go
can
ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Susan, unfortunately, is having trouble with her phone. She's unmuted, but we can't hear her, so...
She may need to hang up and call back. Sometimes that does the trick.
Yeah, I've asked her to do that. Dice up the, you know, you were with us when we blew that shofar on 9/11. For anyone who hasn't seen that launch yet, it really was historical. It had more messianic and Christian leaders on it than in any other meeting, I think, ever in the history of the ecclesia and the church. And all I can say now is the door is open. We're working, we're going as the Holy Spirit leads us, but we're starting to connect with different streams of the church, and they are not just opening to the message and wanting to reconcile, but they are making commitments with their leadership to engage in the teachings. And I tell you, Dysop, it's such a need, not just for lay people, but for leadership also to embrace these teachings. There is revelation. This project puts legs and a face to the next phase, and it puts us on are the pathway towards God's end time plans. Because, you know, there's lots of confusion in the body, and the enemy is still pulling on those strings. You know, you have the evangelical body blasting Israel, but kind of wanting Israel to fall in line with their eschatological perspective. Then you've got the charismatic body connecting to Jewish roots, but the relational piece is the heart of this restoration, and it's not yet where it needs to be. And that's where the Father is moving us now, wanting to expose the enemy and deal with the obstacles in us, in our hearts and minds, that are holding us back from this restoration, that can lead us into the fullness of the Father's heart, where he can fill us with his love and begin to melt away these obstacles. So Hallie and I have been on the road the whole month between North Carolina and Florida. We're actually going home on Tuesday. And then we're off to IHOP in Kansas City in the middle of the month. So there's lots of good things happening. And if I may, can we refocus on the initial point that I brought up? Because I think it'd be great if Hallie could just share for a minute on how she discovered her identity. And then hopefully at that point, Susan may be with us, and maybe we could pray into that. Because Dykstra, there's such a need for us to recognize some of the problems and the barriers in the body, so we know how to pray more effectively to bring about the change. And this identity issue amongst Jewish believers, most Jewish believers are in the church. They're not in messianic congregations. They're in the church. And as I mentioned, a lot of them just want nothing to do with their Jewish roots. They had a painful experience crossing over, and it's, for some of them, it's just too delicate to embrace. But I think we'd be empowered for our intercession to hear Hallie's story and Susan's story of how they discovered their identity and what a blessing it is in their lives. So would that be okay, Dysa?
Sure. Hallie, Grant's precious wife, would you unmute? By the way, where would Susan be connecting with us from? Which city and state?
She's in Stamford, Connecticut.
Okay, wonderful. So Hallie, would you share with us your experience? Because we need to understand. And of course, there are many Jews who don't even know that they're Jews. But there are Jewish people who know that they're Jewish, and yet there is shame or secrecy or whatever behind it, and we want to understand how we can pray for all Jews, those that are in the church and those that are outside the church. Go ahead, Hallie.
Okay. Well, can you hear me okay, or is it echoing?
Yes.
Because I'm not far from Grant. Is it okay?
We're fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I can say on a A to Z story, I can give you like a couple, like a C, an E, and a G, because there's so many components to it. But for the sake of time, I say that being raised in an Orthodox Jewish home, fully immersed in rituals and tradition, fast forward, winding up in a church, and a baby believer in a church where, while it was known to my leaders that I was Jewish, there was no recognition. Like no one, and I don't say this in judgment or criticism. I say this in a need for an awakening in the church, in the body, in the church, how to minister. You know, here I was, Jewish, immersed in Christianity, not yet discipled into my identity, or didn't have the revelation of the Holy Spirit, but because I was so turned off from anything that had any connection to Judaism, because I didn't see any fruit in the Judaism, because they were not connected to their Messiah, and it was more tradition and rituals, and you know, and even growing up in an Orthodox home without the connection to faith in a real God, here I was in church. And when I think of Romans 10:14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And here I was immersed in a church and disconnected still to my Jewish roots. You know, and as Grant has said earlier, when someone is sitting in church who is Jewish, partly the disconnection is because they walked away from so many, you know, they had family that rejected them. They're no longer considered to be Jews. So like Grant was saying, it's painful to turn back and connect. But my prayer is for people in church to recognize someone who's a Jewish person. Like, no one came up to me and said, you know, hey, let me tell you about your Jewish roots. Did you know that, you know, Jesus was not only Jewish, but all his disciples were Jewish, and the first century church was Jewish. Like, you know, there was no connection for me to connect. And so as I was this Jewish person in church, I was confused in my identity. Because the truth is, I wasn't walking in my identity. And it wasn't until I met Grant, and I read in one of his books, and he quoted it earlier, is that Christianity is the true extension of Judaism. That was the moment that the Holy Spirit took the veil off, and I connected to my identity, and the importance of that. And, you know, I became rooted in my faith, and it's been an ongoing growing ever since. So my heart truly is for the Jewish people in church disconnected. And so that's part of my story.
And thank you so much for that. And I think that whether you're a Jewish or a Gentile believer in Yeshua, we all need to understand God's protocol and God's design. And we don't have to understand why, but we need to understand what is in the Word of God. So every time we gather monthly for the Jews and Gentiles together as the One New Man Hour, I always include the Scripture, because this is not figurative. This is not symbolic. This is an unfulfilled prophecy that will be fulfilled, perhaps even in our lifetime. This is in Zechariah chapter 8, 22 to 23. And many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and to entreat him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people of all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you. Now, the number 10 might be figurative, meaning many, 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 perhaps millions may want to come to Jerusalem, including those that are in political power and others, because there is a God-shaped vacuum in those who are not walking with Yeshua. So not if, but when millions of Jews say yes to Yeshua, we're going to see this prophecy fulfilled. I'm believing this is in our lifetime. And so this is so critical for us. This is not just for the Jewish person. Yes, we want to minister to them. We want the Jewish person to know that Yeshua died for them, and that their calling that goes all the way back to Abraham continues to this day. Yes, but why? Because God wants to bless the nations through his ecclesia, through both Jews and Gentiles coming together as one. But this prophecy cannot be fulfilled until millions of Jews pour into Yeshua's kingdom. So I believe right now we are connected with Susan. So would you properly introduce her?
Maybe
Susan can lead us.
Muted.
Yes, maybe Susan can properly. Maybe she can pray into this first, and then let's hear
well,
from.
Actually, If you don't mind, I would rather just give a little of my testimony and then pray into it, because
well,
I think...
you know what? Yes, let's do that. Let's hear your testimony and let's have an
because
open time of prayer.
Because it's very intertwined with Hallie, and I'll keep it as short as possible. Because I, as a Jewish believer, also came in through the Gentile side. And it was interesting because when I came to know the Lord, I looked for a church to go to, but I never felt at home. And it took me literally, it took 20 years before the Lord actually insisted that I come to the church that I'm at now, which I've been at for another 20 years. But, you know, even during that time, there was always a piece missing for me. And I never really understood what that was, but I guess it's 7 years ago now, Grant and Hallie came in with Messiah's House, which was held at my home church, and I started attending, and I started realizing that I was missing an entire side of myself, my own identity. It surprised me because I had never really seen the Jewishness of the gospel, the Jewishness of the scriptures, or, you know, the Jewishness of Yeshua, and the fact that I would be allowed to remain Jewish and not have to shift my way of thinking. And the scripture that really comes into me with that is, you know, in 1 Corinthians 9, you know, we hear about the message to become all things to all men so that by all means possible I might save some. And I think for salvation message that's true, but that's also true inside the body, because really we can't expect everyone to conform to the same identity, because none of us have the same identity. I mean, even Hallie and I have completely different identities. She came in as an Orthodox Jew. I came in as a secular Jew. And so, you know, even between the two of us, we're completely different and look at the Lord in a different way. And it wasn't until I began to actually see myself in the light that the Lord saw me that I even realized what my purpose was, what the Lord had for me to do, you know, the gifts that he had given me, you know, what the purpose of those was and how I was supposed to be used in those giftings. And, you know, it's just so critical that we understand not only who we are, but who each other is. We need to look at one another not as all fitting into the same mold, but as being unique and being different and appreciating those differences and nurturing those differences. Because, you know, there are so many different giftings that are given to all people, and they're for different purposes and different destinies and different things that need to be nurtured by all of us, because the giftings are for the entire body. We're supposed to use them for one another. And in Ephesians, I'm just going to flip to it real quick because I think it's really critical, if I can. But basically what the word says is that all these giftings were given so that the body could be brought into unity. And that unity is what we're looking for, because as we become unified, as we become Jew and Gentile working together, the Lord can, as Grant usually says, you know, we're reconnecting the wire. And the Lord can then bring the fire and cause us to be more effective and do more for his kingdom. And so I'm just going to, that's my very quick testimony. I have tons more I could say, but I'm going to just pray into that right now. So, Father, I just ask right now, Lord, that you would awaken all of us to the identity that you've intended for us to have, Lord, that we wouldn't be molded or modeled by the churches we're in, by the things we've learned, by the teachings we've been to, but let, Lord, you would cause us to understand our identity directly from you, that you would awaken that identity in us, and that you would stir up the giftings in us that you've given us, Lord, to bring us into a unified body. And I just ask right now, Lord, that you would help us to see the giftings in one another, that you would help us to nurture each other's identity as we see the things that you show us in these people around us, Lord, because we're supposed to be doing the one another's. We're supposed to be loving one another and lifting each other up and singing psalms to one another and doing all these different things together. And so, Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would, especially in the Messianic Jewish community, Lord, that you would restore their identities, Lord, that you would cause them to see who they are in you, and that they would begin to move in that place, Lord, that you've placed them, that you've sent them, and that you would adjust their thinking and adjust their mindsets. And Father, I just come against every mindset that would say that we have to be alike, that every mindset that would say that we have to all be the same, do the same, act the same, think the same, Lord, because that's not your intention. Your intention is for us to each be unique. You know, you didn't make us all the same. Just like every flower is different, every tree is different, every animal is different, Lord, we are called to be different too, and to work as a unified group, but to have our uniqueness in that. And so I just thank you for that right now in Yeshua's mighty name.
Amen. I'm going to ask these four Gentile sisters to lead us in a one-minute prayer each for salvation of Jewish people, each and every one of them uniquely created by our Lord. And Amy in Amy Store in San Diego, Priscilla Fremming in Bay Area, Edith in New Jersey, and Virginia Chapman in Washington State. Would each of you take a minute each and pray for these precious Jewish people among us? God wants to reach out to them and save them.
Oh, Father, we are so grateful to be a part of your body. And we do thank you that you are our Father, and we are all your sons and daughters. And you pull us out of all of these different backgrounds and identities and histories, and you are making us one. So we do pray, Lord, for an awakening. We pray for an awakening among your people, and we pray for awakening among Jewish precious ones. And we thank you for light coming. We thank you for your word opening the eyes of our understanding, and that you would make us one new man in Messiah. And Lord, we thank you that we have the privilege of being alive right now in the midst of this important time, and we choose yes. Thank you that you reveal to us, lead us, guide us, show us by your word and by your precious Holy Spirit, unite us as one and reveal our identity in you. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, this is Priscilla. Father, I just want to thank you that the scripture that Susan brought up is directly after the scripture that we all know so well about one new man. Those gifts have been given, Lord, for bringing about the unity in Yeshua, and it's to both. It's to all of us, Lord. The Gentile church has kept that scripture much too long for themselves. And Lord, we just say no, that it is Jew and Gentile together in Yeshua's name. And Father, you brought me to Acts chapter 10, where Peter was up on the roof. He was very hungry, and you showed him something, and you said, "Arise, Peter, I want you to kill and eat." And he goes, oh no. Well, in the end, we know what happened in that story when he was led to Cornelius' house. And so, Father, you are awakening a hunger in both Jew and Gentile. At this point, Peter was a Jew, but his past and what you were bringing him out of was yet to bring him into the fullness of what you were going to reveal at that time to the Jew and the Gentile. And, Lord, it's the same for us as believers who have Yeshua, but we call him Jesus, and that's fine. But Lord, all of us need to have that hunger. And Lord, I just say to you that I have a hunger, Lord. I have a thirst for my brothers and my sisters. And Lord, I say to them, wherever they're seated in that doctrine or not fully knowing your heart, Father, that they will arise, they will eat. And Lord, just like Peter's name means rock, and upon this rock, Jesus, you are the rock, and you're going to build your church. And Simon means hearing. And so may we hear your word. May we say, yes, Lord, we want to build your church. And Lord, you lead us in the way that we should go so that we can do it in Yeshua's name. Change our hearts, Lord. We want your heart, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen, amen. Edith, would you also lead us in prayer?
Okay, Father, we thank you, Father, for your sovereignty, Lord. We bless your name. We honor you. We give you glory and praise. Thank you, God, that you're pouring your spirit in these last days, Father, that you pour your spirit upon your people, your covenant people, Lord God. God, that the veil would be removed, Father, that they would have such a revelation of Messiah. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you, God, that the spirit of fullness of the Gentiles will be provoked to Israel to jealousy for their Messiah, Lord. We thank you, God, that you will save your own people, Lord God, that you will give them a new heart, a new spirit, Father, and remove any stony heart, give them a heart of flesh. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Father, the desire for you, Father. Father, it would be such a hunger and thirst, Father, to know you, encounter you in a personal way. Father, we thank you, God, that you will raise up more laborers, Father, around the world for this, God, for the harvest of Jews, Lord, God, for your people. Lord, we cry out, Father, outpouring of your Holy Spirit and the Word of God be manifest into their lives, Father. Thank you. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Virginia?
Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for this teaching, this reminder, and these prayers, Lord. Especially, Lord, I pray for patience on the hearts of the Gentile believers, that they look into the deepest identity, Lord, of each individual Jewish person that they might share with, Lord, that they would see the uniqueness, and that individual would feel the Father's love. Lord, I thank you so much about how their giftings are what we need, Lord. And we need them because they carry something so spiritually unique in their birth, in their calling, in their identity. And, Lord, I pray that there will be such patience, Lord. I'm just so encouraged by all these new ministries to reach out to the Jews of this day, Lord, as we see prophecy fulfilled everywhere, Lord, that they would have a stirring and that people would walk with them while they struggle and be so, so tenderhearted toward them and affirming of their gifts. Lord, we just thank you for this teaching and thank you for what you're doing in the Jewish people today. We know it's a mighty work, and we give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Back to you, Grant. In these closing minutes, is there something else that you would like to address us with?
Yes. Yes. There's a sister on the line that prays with us that would like to share something. But just before I invite her to pray, there's also a need for us to understand that the pastorate we need to pray for the pastors. You know, no one told Hallie, you know, about her identity in church. But similarly, pastors are not yet recognizing that Jewish believers need to be encouraged into their identity. And so there's a great need for us to pray for this revelation to come to the leadership in the church, that they begin to pastor the body and shepherd the body into this restoration. So can I just pray into that, Daisa? And then maybe we could hear from our sister Liz. Father, we just, there is such a need. You know, even as we teach in the Romans 911 project, until the baton needs to be passed from the messengers bringing this message to the pastorate, and the pastorate needs to be trained up. It's very similar, Lord, in like bringing a church into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are lots of obstacles. There's a great need for wisdom and discernment
in how to be bring this message into a new congregation and a church. But first, Father, we ask for dreams and visions. We ask you, and we know we're hearing that, and we're praying for more dreams and visions, more words coming from your heart to the hearts of your children and your leaders, Father, to begin to recognize the significance of this message and begin to move into embracing it and beginning to learn how to shepherd the body into it. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Let's go ahead.
Father, as we pray for pastors, Lord, I pray that they would embrace what is written in Luke chapter 10, that you are calling them to be like Mary, to sit at your feet and listen to the heart of the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, Lord, rather than being so busy and so tired and frustrated that they even complain about those who are waiting upon the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Martha, we see the transformation of Martha from Luke chapter 10 to John 22, for she was the first one to run to Yeshua the Messiah. And the interaction they had, Lord, outside Lazarus's tomb. And without that interaction, we would not see I am the resurrection and the life in your Holy Scripture. Thank you, Lord, that you are more than able to transform the Marthas that are leading congregations from Luke chapter 10 to John 12. Thank you, Lord, for this insight in Yeshua's name. Amen. Elizabeth, welcome. We have about a few more minutes before we wrap up this hour. What is it that you would like to bring to us?
Oh, hi, good morning, everyone. This is Liz and John from Stonington, Connecticut. And, you know, last night in prayer, my husband and I were praying for revival and being prepared and equipped. And I'm sure the whole church is preparing and getting equipped to evangelize and share the good news. And, you know, the Lord put Romans 1:6 on my heart, 1:16 on my heart, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And however you want to interpret that last line, there is no doubt that there is a distinct calling and purpose on the Jewish people, for the Jewish people. And when Genesis 12:3 says that God promises to bless those who bless the Jewish people, as Sid Roth, you know, I've just been reading a little book on evangelism to the Jews, said that what better way to bless the Jewish people than to share the good news of Yeshua. Last night when we were praying, I just felt like, wow, you know, we are not equipped. Really not. I mean, we have seeds that have been planted, but if we had a round table of five, you know, Jewish people that we are going to share the good news with, are we equipped to do that? And so the Lord also reminded me that Jews are to be a light to the Gentiles. So it is my prayer, our prayer, that we are given the teachings that are necessary to be equipped to evangelize the good news to everyone. And I believe that when we're equipped, then God will bring in more Jews, because we don't have a large Jewish population where we are right now. But he said, if you will be equipped, they will come. And so I pray that for all the Jews and all the Gentiles that are commissioned to share the good news, that we be equipped and prepared to share the news to the other, you know, whatever you want to call the other. But yes, we are one new man, but the Jew
and
the
Gentile. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for that encouragement, admonition. And we're going to go to Bob Wolf if you would close out this hour with an Aaronic blessing. I believe it would be very appropriate. Without God's blessing, anything we say, anything we do is worthless. And God is reminding us this morning that we are to proclaim and demonstrate the gospel of Yeshua to our Jewish neighbors. Amen. So, Bob, would you close out this hour with the Aaronic blessing in both Hebrew and in English?
Father, we just bless those who have come on board here, and the extension and the ripple effect from these prayers, Father God, as they go into the heavenly realm. Yivareka Kadonai v'yishmereka. Ye Adonai panevelecha v'ichuneka. Say Adonai panevelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, to be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you to bring you his shalom. Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, it's wonderful to have these monthly Jews and Gentiles together as a one new man. We'll be back next month with Grant Berry, founder and director of Reconnecting Ministries, and Robert Wolf, president of Majestic Glory. Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat.